you have accepted Jesus Christ, and I'm here to tell you today that without your strength, without your wisdom, without your power, without your knowledge, without your understanding, God's going to produce in you what will bless him. And in blessing himself, you will be blessed.
And that is the truth, brothers and sisters. It's nothing more exciting and encouraging than to think about how invested God is in our growth. That's what we're going to take a real close look at this week and for the rest of the month as our theme is growing. And this week, it is planted by God. Tune in and may God bless you as you listen.
This next 4 weeks, we are going to look at growing. And we're going to look at growing in several different ways. And the first way we're going to look at growing is planted by God. So in every process, there's planting, and then there's someone that has to nurture you. That'll be next week. And then there's someone who has to help you see how the fruit is coming into your life. So you should anticipate a harvest. And then the final week, we'll talk about how you actually will continue to grow in grace. This will be a really encouraging time for you to think about growing. If growing is a concern for you, if giving God all the glory is your highest priority, if you ever struggle with or wonder how you can do more or feel more or just, you know, am I going to be able to survive this walk with God? You know, how hard is it or how easy is it? And you just need a biblical foundation for what it means for you to just continually grow to where your life seems to spew out the fruit of God everywhere you go. Your joy is contagious. Your peace is contagious. Your smile never goes away. Even when you're crying, people have hope because they know who you're crying to. Amen. They know that you're not hopeless, even when you're crying. I encourage you to strap in and dial into these next 4 weeks, where we're talking about growing from a biblical perspective. So we're going to start off our text that's going to kind of umbrella over the whole thing. And we're not going to really dig into the text today other than one aspect of it is John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Now, in order for us to just all be able to read from the same text, we'll put these right up here on the screen so you can see them. And this today is going to come from the English Revised Version. It's pretty decent. And I do that because I just want you to know that the Bible that we read, the words that we read are very important. And God can work through any of these versions of the Bible. Amen. If you're seeking them, he says, if you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found of you. So verse 1 of chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, these are Jesus Christ's words. They're not in red on the screen, but 9 times out of 10 in your Bible, these letters will be in red, which means they are the very words of Jesus Christ, the man. And he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. He also trims every branch that produces fruit to prepare it to produce even more. You have already been prepared to produce more fruit by the teaching I have given you. Stay joined to me, and I will stay joined to you. No branch can produce fruit alone. It must stay connected to the vine. It is the same with you. You cannot produce fruit alone. You must stay joined to me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you stay joined to me, and I to you, you will produce plenty of fruit. But separated from me, you won't be able to do anything. If you don't stay joined to me, you will be like a branch that has been thrown out and has dried up. All the dead branches like that are gathered up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Stay joined together with me and follow my teachings. If you do this, you can ask for anything you want, and it will be given to you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We'll read that last verse next. So, I want you to pay very careful attention to what appears to be a very elementary lesson. And I want you to think about this. First of all, God started with a man in a garden. What man was that?
Adam,
right? So God started with a man in a garden. And if you think about it, if you look over the course of the Bible, God has been talking something gardening throughout all Scripture. So God starts in the garden. We know with some mess went down in the garden, right? But even then, he has been talking about something that has to do with a garden flourishing and plants and vines and fruits and pruning and gathering and being a husbandman. All right, so what seems to be very elementary oftentimes is overlooked. But I really want you to say, you know what? I want to dial in to the most elementary part of what God's word says, because I'm going to believe him to show me what I've never seen. Let me give you a perfect example. Sometimes we hear the same scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever so should believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Man, you can hear that up one side and down the other until I've heard that a million times. But one day it'll hit you like a ton of bricks, and you'll hear the whole gospel in that one verse. And you'll realize just how powerful it is. Peter admonishes us, and he says, I want you to desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, so that one day I can give you meat. So I don't want you to hear these things about seeds and trees and fruit. I want you to say, you know what, God, what do you want to show me in this? Okay? So I want you to think about this. So in Genesis 3, listen to this. There's a garden, right? There's a man in the garden, and dirt comes into the garden. What is the dirt? The sin, right? So dirt comes into the garden. What does God say? He goes from dirt coming into the garden to saying a seed will crush the seed that produced this dirt. So right there in the dirt, God planted a seed. He goes on in Isaiah and says, hey, check this out. Out of the seed that I've planted has come a nation, and out of that nation is going to come a root. Y'all remember that? Who's the root? Jesus Christ is coming out of the root of
Jesse.
Yes, the root of Jesse. So here, prior to, he says, there's a seed that's coming. Then he says, there's a root. And then here in the New Testament, Jesus says, I'm the vine. And goes further to extend the whole process to say, you are the branches, and the fruit is going to fall off you. Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah, I'm a part of God's process. I love that. I'm in it. Now, you may be thinking about immediately, you may go to, but I messed up yesterday, Brother Aaron, and I'm just looking at my life. I'm struggling with lying. I'm struggling with cussing. I'm struggling with gambling. I'm struggling with drugs. I'm struggling. What do you mean? I'm going to show you what I mean when we talk about being planted by God. And that's why you really want to lock in for these next 4 weeks. So check this out. Here, he talks about it, and through the whole New Testament, it's just talking about fruit, 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 fruit. The only time he's talking about a seed or a vine in the New Testament is when he's referring to prophecy. Everything else is talking about fruit. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I got some Bible scholars in here. And here's the blessing of the whole thing. Is God says in this first verse, he says that God is the husbandman. God is the gardener. Okay? So now here's where we can start looking up, because maybe in all of this you heard that the fruit is going to fall off of me, and you probably felt pushed back a little on your heels because you feel like, well, you don't know my struggle, brother, and I don't see any fruit. Remember who the husband is. Remember who the gardener is. And the gardener actually has a responsibility. Isn't that true? So let's check this out. I'm going to show you some things. The gardener plants seeds where his seeds can grow. I know that sounds simple, right? This can sound terribly oversimplified, but I want you to just think of the implications of the all-wise, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful God not making a mistake about where you are planted right now. He has a responsibility. It says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the way of sinners, nor standeth, no, walketh in the way of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scorner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Right? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, not planted in the desert to grow up and be a cactus. Because that was some... Okay, I ain't going to get into that yet. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters whose leaves produce its fruit in its season. Right? So now think about it. This tree, he says, the man who follows God will be like a tree planted in the place where he will grow. Even if you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, it says, and God planted planted a garden eastward in Eden. So he had his eye on a place to plant this garden where it would grow. So that's his responsibility as a husbandman. Guess what else he will do? He will protect it. God will protect what he has planted. He will protect it, and he will make sure that it will not fail. So now, I want you to just think about it. We're going to talk about some of the different things and some of the places you can be planted. But I want you to just think about, if God has said that there's a seed that's going to come, and out of this seed is going to come a root. The root is Jesus Christ, who is the vine, who has declared you to be a branch, and that the fruit is going to come off of you. It's his responsibility to protect what he's planted and to ensure that it develops to what he wants it to develop to. Brothers and sisters, we have a lot of assurance in these verses. A lot of assurance. How many of y'all look back just a year ago and say, I sure am not the same person I was a year ago? How many of y'all can say that?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I know some of y'all are saying, but I still ain't dealt with that. And you know what? That's why you need a husbandman. Because sometimes the husbandman can say, you know what? You're really doing good right here. You're really doing good. Sometimes we're just so locked in on that one branch. That branch just got you crippled, and I'm just trying to fix this right here. And somebody is rejoicing over all the change in your life. You're growing, whether you feel it or not. He'll protect it. Now, you know what I thought? Side note. Can I sidetrack a little bit with y'all for a second? So, they're in the garden. The mess comes. God plants a seed. Say, y'all got to go for now. I'm growing something else. And he puts two angels there to do what? Protect. Jesus rises from the dead after saying, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. The tombstone is rolled away. And what do we find there? Two angels. Where were they? Mary thought Jesus was the gardener. Back in the garden! What is God showing us in these very simple things? God didn't start something that he's not going to finish, y'all. You have accepted Jesus Christ, and I'm here to tell you today that without your strength, without your wisdom, without your power, without your knowledge, without your understanding, God's going to produce in you what will bless him. And in blessing himself, you will be blessed.
Amen.
The only way you start really spinning out in the mud and the dirt and the mire, you know how you do that? When you get so concentrated on what you do. When you're so concerned about your future. One lady said, she said, no, it wasn't a lady. I'm sorry, it wasn't a lady. It was something I read. He said that when you're concerned about your future, you can't find God. But when you appreciate your moment, he's right there. And that's what it is. Some of us struggle so much with, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. What does the future look like with this? You know, I'm just not this, or I'm not that, or I haven't got, I can't, and you can't see God. Are you still lying like you were last year? He will nurture. So the gardener, the husbandman, who is God, also has a responsibility to nurture you. That's what we're really going to do. I think that is so key to understand and believe that we're going to spend all next week just talking about just that, being nurtured by God. I want you to leave out here next week feeling like, how did I ever think I wasn't going to grow? How did I ever think? Why was I spinning out and being feeling so bad, not realizing that God has a responsibility as a father and a husbandman to nurture me and bring forth fruit in my life? And he brings fruit. There will be a fruitful harvest. There will be a fruitful harvest. So now let's look at this on a personal note. Let's look at this on a personal note. And this is risky, because if we don't understand, first of all, that God plants, God waters, God brings the increase. That the work started with God in the garden a long time ago, continue with God throughout the ages, and at the end of the day, all glory is going to go to who?
God.
For what? For the fruit that he reaps from his own harvest. You can start to feel like, well, if I got some responsibility in this, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. But we do have some responsibility. We do have some responsibility in all of this. But on a personal note, here's what you have to look at. So we parallel this to where you're planted. And the first place I want to look at is your family of origin. And I want you to think about this. Some of us have the type of families that you're discouraged by. You're discouraged. You didn't have your mom, or you didn't have your dad, or whatever that might be. Whatever it might be, whatever it is, no matter how hard you were abused, you were neglected, you were whatever that is. And you look and you say, how could God expect me to grow here? I want to encourage you today, and I'm going to say something to you without apology or without compromise. God doesn't expect you to grow. God expects you to stay planted. God expects you to respect where he has put you. God expects you to rejoice that you know that it's him that's working in your life. God expects you to look forward to his hand feeding you, his spirit watering you, and his power bringing forth the fruit in your life, despite where you are. He wants you to respect his counsel, his wisdom, his knowledge, in spite of all the craziness in the world. He didn't come to Adam and say, Adam, you know, we messed this up, man. I don't know how we're going to get anything out of this harvest. He said, don't worry about it. I'm going to plant a seed and it's going to crush this sucker. He didn't say, oh, woe is the earth. I don't know how we're going to get anything. I don't know how we're going to make it through this. He said, I got something that's going to crush this sucker. Right here. In the darkness. In the rocks. In the valley. When it's hard. In the storms, when the sea is raging, I have something. I got something. So if it's your family, I want you to think about that. It took me a long time to appreciate. I ain't got my dad. But you know what? For a long time, I was carrying around the weight of not having my dad. Until I dropped that weight and said, I do got a dad. I have a father, a heavenly father. Amen. And look at this. This next verse says, and this is just for you to see. It says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Now, you can look at that and say, but I still want my dad. Or I still want my mom. Or I still want a family like the Partridge family. Or I still want what I saw on TV. I still want the American dream family, God. I don't have that. And they say, they all smiling. And I want to smile. Have you ever seen them off camera? Drinking themselves to death? See, we got to remember, where is your image of your blessing coming from? Is it the hand of God showering blessings over you? Or is it, I'm looking at this, I'm looking out into the world, and that's where I'm comparing my life, and that's where I want to find my joy. I want to drive that car. I want to live in a house like that. I want to have a husband or a wife like that. I want to do things like that. I want to go places like that. Or are you saying, no, you know what, except God make me rich, I'd rather be poor. I know that's hard. But I have to say it to you like that. For some of us, it is a complete shift in the way you think, to stop hoping in the things of this world and stop believing for the things in this world, and to go to believing in something you cannot see or determine how it's going to come to you. That's hard. And I acknowledge that it's hard. And you will not get any pressure from me if you came to me and said, Brother Aaron, I'm just still struggling. I would say, I know. I know how hard that is. And it's okay. But guess what? You're not struggling alone. The Lord is producing something in you. And that something that is produced in you is creating a struggle. People in darkness ain't struggling. Remember that. If you're struggling to hold on to the things of God, remember, people in darkness, they don't, because they're in darkness. If you're struggling to do the right thing, you're struggling to believe the right thing, you're struggling to keep your eyes on Jesus, struggling to keep believing and see what God wants for you in your life, and you're struggling, you just want to know what it is God has for me. If you're struggling with that, believe me, people in darkness are not. That is a sign that a seed has been planted in you. And that is a sign that you have been plucked up out of darkness and planted in the light.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing? We can just all say amen and go home now, right? We're planted. We'll just wait. Check this out. So here's the skin in the game. This is where you're going to feel a little challenge. Little challenge. It's tilling. Tilling is you go to a field, and if a field has been left to itself, left on its own, unattended, like our souls were, we were left because we hadn't come to Christ. We had never reached up and said, Lord, help me. We hadn't repented. We were left to the ways of this world. And so all of the darkness and all of the dirt just packed. packed down to where it was so hard that even when it rained, the water just run off. It can't seep down into your soul. So you hear the word, but people telling you you need Jesus, and it just roll off you like a water rolling off a duck's back. That's called fallow ground is what the word calls that. And even if you could take a shovel or, you know, you probably need a chisel to get some of the dirt broke up. You put a seed down there, it's not going to grow because it has no, it can't take root anywhere. The root will come out, but it'll die. And so what you have to do is you have to break up the clods and you have to go through and you have to break that dirt up. And that requires work. This is what the scripture says about this. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. And this is Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and do what?
Rain.
Because we don't want our hearts to be hardened, because that's what's resembling a fallow ground. It's when your heart has been hardened. Remember when Jesus said they were on the boat, they were wondering, talking to themselves, and they said, man, we forgot to bring the food. But they had just left from where Jesus performed the miracles, and Jesus says, have your hearts been hardened to where you can't believe what you're seeing? You can't believe what you're hearing. You can't believe to see a future, to see growth, to see fruit in your life. You can't believe it, even though you're hearing about it. Even though if you look close enough, you can see miracles in your life. He says, you got to break all of that up so that when the rain comes and the seed of the word goes, that root can go way down in your soul. You have to ask yourself, if it's hard for you to believe, why? And I want to encourage you with this. There's no answer that's going to sound foolish to God. There's no answer that's going to sound foolish to anyone that's been walking with God any amount of time. If you're saying, I'm having a hard time believing God because I lost a family member. If you're saying, I'm having a hard time believing God because I prayed for this and it never happened. I'm having a hard time believing God because of all the things that have happened in my life. Nobody but a fool that does not know God is going to think that that's crazy. We have more scriptures in the Word telling us that God understands when you don't believe. But what he is saying is you got to break that all up. Because God going to rain on you. And God has planted something in you. And he wants it to be able to go in all the places that it hasn't been able to go. If you got a hard place in your life, God wants to get that too. So that's tilling. Breaking up. That could be, you know, letting go of the junk. That could be a lot of different things. It could be forgiving. It could be asking for forgiveness. It could be being merciful. And then there's fertilizing. Now, the one good thing about fertilizer, in this world, you ain't got to buy it. It's everywhere. Okay, y'all didn't get that. Ain't no farmers in here. Okay. Fertilizer basically is mess. Okay? It's the stinky, nasty stuff that you don't want to smell, touch, or be around. Now, any good tasting tomato, ripe, red, beautiful, sweet, almost as a cherry. You better believe it started from something that stank bad. Had something nasty down in that dirt. We ain't gonna talk about all of the nasty stuff that were used to grow a tomato. But you know what grows people? People who come through some nasty stuff. And you might feel like you got mess all around you. I wonder if it's possible that God, as a good husbandman, could say, this is the perfect place to plant you in time. Right here in this mess. Let me remind you that Joseph, who stood next to Pharaoh, who was the most powerful man in the world, Joseph stood next to Pharaoh, and the only reason Pharaoh didn't make him the most powerful man in the world, because what prideful, arrogant man would do that? But at the end of the day, Joseph was actually the wisest, most powerful man in the world. He just had respect for Pharaoh. Well, guess what Joseph came from? A complete mess. Murderous family members. Daddy's sleeping with all these different women. Mamas fighting over each other. I mean, just all kind of crazy stuff Joseph came from. And Joseph came through. But at the end of the day, he said, I know why I've gone through what I've gone through, because God was doing something, and here is the fruit of it today. Me standing right next to this man, counseling him to feed fruit, to feed my brethren. What a blessing that is. Can you see yourself one day feeding the people? Do you know that branches produce fruit? They're not just produced for the branches. The branches produce fruit for people to eat. All right, enough on fertilization. It's everywhere. If you feel like you got a mess in your life, in your pet, oh, well, wait a minute, Brother Aaron. Really, I don't got that kind of mess around me. My family was pretty okay, you know, or it's okay now. The mess I'm dealing with is in my heart. It's a seed in there. And guess who planted it? Guess who's going to grow it? Guess who's going to nurture it? It's God Himself. Is your heart hardened about that? Do you feel like... Let's look at that seeing thing. Because for me... When it came to some of the sins that were in my life, because they were in my life for so long, and because I loved them so much, I just felt like this is, you know, this 3 to 5 sins right here, I'm going to live with these the rest of my life. I don't see nobody around me overcoming them, and everybody says this is just the way it is, and I even hear that coming across pulpits, and, you know, I'm just going to learn how to live with them and find a way to have joy despite the mess in my life. I can't even believe God to deliver me from this. So that would mean that I can believe God to deliver a mindless, lifeless, heart stopped, kidney shut down, liver done, intestines finished, probably close to stinking person, no soul, no spirit, that he can make this person stand up and walk and live, but he can't make this living man different. He can do something with a dead man, but not with a living heart. That one made me think a few days, and I almost had a few accidents behind that one. I'm driving like... It's like, I'm serious. It rocked my socks to consider that I was in disbelief about what God could do with my heart, yet confessing what I believe God could do with a dead man. I want you to think about that. Now, is it humbling? Yes, because I'm still powerless, right? It's very humbling to know that I'm completely vulnerable to things I have no, I'm out of control. But guess who is in control? The husbandman who planted this seed in my life. And really the shift that needed to take place was for me to say, I'm going to stop believing that I can change this and start believing he can. I'm going to stop believing that it's up to me to produce the fruit and believe that the fruit truly is of the Spirit. And the skin in the game that I have is to walk. Now, I'm going to tell you, can I be real with y'all just for a second? Sometimes I was cussing, walking. But I was walking. All right, y'all don't want to hear that. Okay, that's cool. Y'all don't want to see me like that? Okay, all right, fine. But I'm going to tell you anyway. Sometimes I was walking mad. Sometimes I was walking full of lust. Sometimes I was walking with thoughts of murder on my mind. But I learned walk. Walk with God. Look to Jesus. And he says, if you walk, I'll do miracles in your heart. Sometimes you want to. All right. Y'all can imagine. Sometimes you want to. I'll let you fill in that list. Sometimes I just want to. That's your list. I ain't going to tell you what I wanted to do. But what I learned to do was keep walking. Keep walking with God. That's a real tricky one, ain't it? That's hard to deal with. And I know it, but it's true. Walk with God. Walk in the light. So what are you saying, Brother Aaron, that I can keep walking in the light and keep cussing? No. Sometimes walking in the light reveal that cussing.
Amen.
And as you keep walking and you got this person beside you saying, hey, just look at me. Don't look back because that cuss word is already behind you. Just keep walking. Don't stop and entertain what you just cussed about, why you cussed and how you ain't going to do it. Just keep walking. Look at me. And then when you look at me, what you see is grace in my eyes. What you hear from me is truth. What you hear me, what you see me do is encourage you and build you up with words that bring water in your soul. That loosen up all that dirt and filth. And then the root of the word can go down even further as I start to show you the truth. Just keep walking with me and keep looking at me. Keep listening to me. Let's keep going. Just keep going. Don't stop and wallow in it. Let's just keep going. Commit to me. Don't commit to not doing that. Commit to me, because the more you commit to not doing that, you're going to focus on that.
Right.
And you're going to keep doing that. Commit to me. That's what that means, to keep walking. Rooted. So you got the seed planted. You got the fertilizer. We got a horticulture man in here. We know the first thing happens is, and I watched about 100 of these videos. It's like, oh, that's so cool. A radish. I was watching, you know, snap beans and peas and everything, just to make sure they all do the same thing. And all of them do the same thing. They, when they get the water, it sinks down in the dirt, and the first thing that happens is it roots go down. And then it goes up. Some of us are just now getting rooted. And you need to let that take place. So while a seed, when a seed is planted, for a while, it still sees no light. Because something is happening on the down below the surface. In your heart, something is happening. You don't see it. Sometimes you don't even feel it. You don't even know it. But what you got to do is trust that the process of God is working in you right now. There's a seed planted, and you say, well, wait a minute, Brother Aaron, I still feel all of this. Well, are you going to go by what you feel, or are you going to go by what the Word says? The Word says the seed of the Word has been planted in you, and you know that the evidence that the Word has come to you and you have heard it is that you no longer love sin. You no longer want to sit in darkness. You no longer want to go the way you used to go. Something has changed about you. No, everything hasn't changed, but the most essential thing about you has changed. And that was because of the Word of God. So now don't make the mistake of overlooking the miraculous change to now start demolishing your own hope and faith by believing that everything else is going to come from you. No. Doesn't work that way. What you have to do is stay rooted. Stay rooted. Matthew 13, he talks about the sower. And he talks about the person whose the seed comes to them, which is the word. It comes to them. One, it is planted among thorns. And the thorns were the cares of this life. And it says the cares of this life will happen, and then persecution come. People start telling you, oh, you think you're all holy. Or, oh, so you changed. You ain't hanging out with us no more? What's up with that? Oh, you love your wife now. She got you henpecked, boy. You need to, you know, all of this crazy stuff that they'll start persecuting you over for following Jesus. He says people like that will turn away because the cares of this life are just overwhelming them. He says, but the people who are the seed, where the seed is planted on good ground, fertile ground, clods broken up, water ready to receive even more, is where they hear the word and they understand it and they do it. And they bring forth much fruit. So you got to stay rooted. And if we're going to talk about being rooted, you know, let's go ahead and talk about being rooted in a church. Might as well, right? Sometimes people miss out on a blessing because they're not rooted in a church. And believe me, I'm going to be the first to tell you, there are some churches that just need to close their doors. And it's not because it's only three people there. They need to close their doors. There's 800 people there. You need to close your doors because you're not teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and you're not doing the Great Commission. But if you do happen to find a church where you know you are first, you're hearing the gospel, you leave encouraged, you leave empowered, you can look back over your life, even if it's only 3 months that you've been around there, and you can see, man, I'm growing. You know, I don't got it. I'm growing. And you can see people who are caring for and loving on you. And you say, you know what? I think this is where God wants me. Then let the roots go down before you become tumbleweed. You know, we got all this, and I'm going to tell you, Kankakee. Kankakee, you hear? We got a lot of tumbleweed. Just going from church to church to church to church and talking about God told me. It's like, you know what? And I'll tell you, I'll be the first to say, why'd you leave your church? I'm going to tell y'all straight up, I've had people come here and I sent them back to their church. After the reason they told me. And I will say, did you try to work that out with them? Did you talk to your pastor? Did you talk to that person? Well, then that's not a good enough reason to leave your church. Go back. And they went back and came and said, you know what? I'm so glad you did that. We worked that out and everything is good now. Get rooted. Get rooted in God. Let the word take root in you. Get rooted in the church. That's a side note, if y'all okay with that. Don't become a tumbleweed. They burn up real fast when they get hot. Sprouting. Last one, y'all. So here's the process. Seeds planted. Fertilizer. Everybody got some mess to be fertilized by, right? So you get the fertilizer. Get rooted. Now here comes the sprout. And I want you to recognize something about the sprout. One thing I recognize about the sprout when I watched everything, every one of them was pretty much the same. It left the shell that it was in behind at some point. But it was in the very early stages. So if it's a seed, every seed has a very tender part that's down in the middle of it. And when the root comes out, it will grow up and it will shed the husk, or what do you call that, Brother Dan?
The shell.
It'll leave the shell behind. Now, it may come out of the ground with the shell still attached, but very early, that shell is gone. Can you imagine seeing a big almighty oak tree with a big old seed husk on it? You know, the husk just grow up with it. Well, how beautiful would that be? Still hold it on to where it came from. And that's what we don't want to do. At some point, brothers and sisters, it is expected of every single one of us that where you came from, it's got to go. It's got to go. You're not the same person, which means you're not going to live the same life. You can't just be a seed your whole life. If you went out into a field and you saw a whole bunch of little seedlings, you would either be expecting them to grow or you would suspect that something's wrong. And that can be difficult. But it's true. You know how discouraging it is if you go up into a church and you have somebody tell you, I've been on the deacon board for 47 years
and they'll cuss you out in a heartbeat. You'd be like, really? Right? I mean, we know nobody's perfect. We know that. We know that. But you still doing, that's elementary. So, as we close, let's remember this. First, you're planted by God. Something supernatural is taking place in your life. Without your power, without your knowledge, without your wisdom or your understanding, God is doing something. What he's doing is going somewhere. Where it's going is going to go because of him. What it produces will be glorious. It will be for his glory, and you will be blessed by it as well as others. The skin in the game that you have is to keep walking with God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. When you do that, you can trust that what he has planted, he will protect it. He will nurture it, and he will be the one to bring forth the fruit in your life. You will look back. You walk with God. You will look back and say, wow. You will look into your life and you will say, wow. Words can't express some of the blessings I see in my life today. And it has not been that long. So my encouragement to you is, as we think about next week, especially next week, thinking about being nurtured by God, the week after that, anticipating a harvest. And I mean, like, anticipate. That means you look for it. Just as soon as you put a seed in the ground, you keep going back and you look for it. You anticipate something to come out of that. Just as sure as you expect that, expect it in your life. And the last one is to know that you're going to grow. But how that takes place, it happens by the grace of God Almighty. Amen.
How refreshing it is to just remember that God is not a man. He didn't plant something that he's not going to see to it, that it comes to fruition, that it's a blessing. So I hope you take in the wise counsel of the scriptures and just a clear look at how gracious God is. Well, that's it for me this week, brothers and sisters. I'm Aaron Clark. This has been an outreach of Spirit and Truth Christian Church Ministries. Our mission is to reach the lost, to prevent more pain, and to teach others to go and do the same. You can reach us on the web at spiritandtruthchurch.net and listen to this and other messages, make prayer requests, request personal Bible studies, and much more. You can find us on Facebook as well. Until next time, God bless you. May the Lord's peace rest in your heart.